Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. Mm-hmm. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
I'll... Oh, The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
This is Grafting with Grace Ann, the only place to get coverage of the best and worst plays from the most recent episode of Love Island. I'm your host, Grace Ann Parks. It's time to crack on, and joining me for the first episode of Grafting is none other than Lizzie Pace and Chad Colchin. Welcome to my villa.
Woo!
Thank you for having us.
I'm usually in Palapas, but a villa feels great. Bigger, yes. More expansive.
It's a change of scenery.
It is. Bachelor adjacent, but today, everyone listening to this, this is a very special moment. What is happening is history is repeating. Back in 2019, Lizzie Pace and I started a podcast called Game of Roses. We started in the middle of Hannah Brown's season.
Did we
15
start on
of Bachelorette.
A mental all? I feel like it was an episode like
no,
that.
No. It wasn't. No? I think it was the episode right before that. It was like the last episode before Hometowns or something. But we started that right in the middle of the season, and now Game of Roses is very proud to introduce a project done by Grace Ann Parks. This is going to be game coverage of another game, Love Island UK. It is the biggest dating game in the United Kingdom. Some people call that Britain. And so in our ever growing quest to expand Game of Roses, to grow the pit, we realize we have to cover some of these other shows that The Bachelor gave birth to. And so that's what the show's going to be.
And Love Island, is one of those best grandbabies.
That is right.
An award-winning grandbaby.
The favorite grandbaby. Like, the grandma is always like, no, I don't have a favorite. But, like, she obviously has a favorite. Like, let's be real. And it's Love Island.
And so this show, Grafting with Grace Ann, and I'm sure Grace Ann will explain what that means to you, is starting on episode 10. Of season 10, I believe.
Correct.
Of Love Island UK, which you can now get on Hulu. And Grace Ann, please explain to us what Love Island UK is.
Well, first, before we get into that, a couple notes before we get into the, you know, the breakdown of episode 10 and all the things that led to episode 10. Right now, I will be releasing the short episodes on the Gore feed Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and possibly Saturdays. These will all, again, be in the Gore feed.
If you are new to Love Island and you want to follow along with me, the episodes drop every day on Hulu. It's not too late to catch up. We're only 10 episodes
in. It's on 6 days a week.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
that's
it's
a key
worth
thing
it.
To mention. The reason that Grace Ann is going to be doing her show multiple times a week is because the show itself airs 5 times a week.
Six.
And Grace Ann's going to... Oh, Jesus. Sorry. Six. How could I forget the all-important sixth episode? But Grace Ann's going to be breaking down all the plays, the errors, all the important stuff that's happening, tracking the gains in 15 to 20 minute shows on the days that we don't do our recap or Twibbon or a digging deeper.
Correct. And so this is kind of the format that we're going to try out now. Might change, but this is what we're going to do for now. And if you're a seasoned Love Island fan, it is also very important to note I'll be following along with the Hulu/American episode drops. That means if you're in the UK or using a VPN to watch episodes on ITVX, my coverage will be a week behind. So just want to make that clear whenever I'm reporting mm-hmm. the gains and stuff like that.
This is Yankee coverage of
correct.
Coverage.
Which and we'll have the benefit of now seeing the Yankee bump in gains. We can be like, oh, mm-hmm. last week, you know, these players gained this, but then these players got the Yankee bump. I feel like that's going to be significant.
I think the Yankee bump is already a coined term, in my humble opinion. I think that's the funniest shit I've heard in a minute, the Yankee bump.
The Yankee All right. bump. Right. So Chad did ask what grafting is. Grafting, you know, there are skin grafts, there are plant grafts, there are crafts as well. But grafting is a UK slang term, and it is basically... whenever you start to flirt with somebody, but you got to work at it, you got to go graft. Like, let's say I'm hitting on Lizzie. I'm going to go graft Lizzie. I'm going to go hit on her. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try to get all her eggs in my basket.
There is so much terminology to the UK Love Island. It's part of one of the most endearing things about it.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite parts about Love Island UK. I always watch with the subtitles. I mean, I watch everything with subtitles, but I highly recommend it for this because some of the accents can be a little hard to understand.
I'll tell you what. I did not put on the subtitles. And
I have no idea what's going on.
It was almost at some point where they were speaking a different language, but it was hilarious nonetheless. I will say my role in this, I'm a layman to this world. I watched about half a season of Love Island USA season one. And don't remember any of it. And so I may be asking questions, at least throughout this first episode, to kind of give me some idea of what the show actually is and why it may be important, at least in reference to Bachelor. Because I did notice immediately some big differences in the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so Lizzie and I have watched all of the first 10 episodes. Chad has just watched episode 10. So he is coming into this knowing absolutely nothing, which is so hilarious.
I've watched all
10
UK seasons. I've watched every US season. Yes. I've watched every Australian season. So I love this format.
Oh, my God.
Yes, me too. I adore it. With all of that being said, let's get into the gains. And these gains are a little different from Twibbon gains because these are 24-hour gains. I track the TikTok and Instagram followings every 24 hours so that I can, you know, be up to date. So in the past 24 hours...
This is a deep recess of the pit here.
Oh, yeah.
Grace Ann's Love Island data portion of the pit.
I have spreadsheets just like y'all did at the beginning. And, like, they look crazy, but I love it. So... Top five right. Instagram players are as follows. Molly Marsh is first with 118K. Jess Harding is second with 74.3K. Tyreek Hyde, 56.4K. Ella Thomas is in fourth with 51.4K. And then we have Rushi Gurung with 50.7K.
And we are 2 weeks into the season. Is that correct?
Right. 2 weeks in UK, 1 week in US.
Okay, and this goes for how long?
This goes for 2 months.
2 months. So 2 weeks into the season, you already got people cracking 100K.
Oh, yeah. Like
Molly deserves it. That's all I'll
it's say. Like,
so far.
Oh, I'm excited to hear your thoughts on Molly.
Who's the number one UK Instagram player of all time?
Of all time, it would probably, right now, Molly it would May? Be Molly May from season 5. Yeah,
What's
which
she
I,
at?
She is at, I believe, 8.8 million.
Oh, 80 million, 7.5 million.
Oh, 7.5 million.
7.5 million crushes Hannah Brown.
Yeah.
They're not even in the same league. This is Francesca Farrago is approaching this, but she's not even
right.
There.
I know.
All right.
So good with that, know.
Just for context.
Yes. And then we have the top five TikTok. What I do love about Love Island is almost everybody has a TikTok, whether they're even like semi-active or not, like at least they have it. Unlike the incoming rookies to Bachelorette 20, like half of them don't even have a TikTok. So top five TikTok, Molly Marsh, again, number one with 772.9K followers on TikTok.
Oh,
yeah.
My
damn.
God.
And like 100K of those were gains just from the past 2 weeks. Like,
okay, so she already had a crazy following on TikTok.
She did, yes. TikTok was like her bread and butter, but she's gaining faster than anyone on TikTok as well. So in second is Ella with 51.6K. Leah is in third with 29K. Fourth is George Fensom with 13.9K. And then rounding out the top five TikTok is Rushi with 6.3K. We got our top five gains, and then we'll get into the breakdown. But in the past 24 hours, the top gain is Jess. She gained 3.1K, bringing her to a total of 74.3K. Rushi is in second, gaining 2.8K, bringing her to 50.7K. Ella gained 2.8K for a total of 51.4K. Tyreek coming in fourth, gained 2K, bringing him to 56.4. And then last is Molly, who gained 2K for a total of 118K. So those are the gains in the past 24 hours.
Okay, those are some good numbers. Now let me ask you this. As a layman coming into this, I noticed one thing very different from our beloved game. These players have cellular telephones in their hands. What the fuck is the deal with that? Because the show is texting them shit like, everybody has to go meet by the fire pit or whatever. Are those real cell phones, or are they just producers can communicate with them and nothing else?
Producers can, and also we have seen in past seasons, sometimes if the Islanders want to communicate with, like, let's say their partner, they will, it's not advised, but they will type into the notes app and like slide it over to their partner so that they're not saying it on mic. But that has ended up burning them in the end. But it's either that or they take pictures of themselves, like selfies, group mm-hmm. photos, and then those are posted on the Love Island socials. But they have no internet okay. access.
Got it. That's what I was curious about. And also I noticed a big difference. The Dark Lord of this game is not embodied. This is a spectral no. Dark Lord. It is no. only a voice.
There is a Dark
you see
Lord.
The Dark Lord eventually?
Dark Lord Jamma.
Yeah, Dark Lord Jamma. She comes in periodically.
But that's not the narrator.
No,
there is a narrator.
Ian Sterling
also.
Is a narrator. But
yeah,
he is
that's
not
the second Dark Lord, I guess.
He is like the essence of Love Island. He is the he's not a Dark Lord.
Okay.
Tonight, and then he makes like railway humor. I can't even do a
yeah, just puns and, yes. and bad jokes left and right.
He is
it's
beloved.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Well, wow, interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, continue. I don't mean to derail you,
but you're right. Maya Jamma only comes in once in a while. It's completely random. Sometimes people are cut without her. Sometimes okay. she cuts people, but usually she's there for
exactly
a yeah. reason.
Okay. I also noticed visually, this show is shot beautifully. The one date that I'm sure we'll get to, this one-on-one date, was nothing. It was just two people sitting on a park bench.
But it was gorgeous.
They shoot the food like a fucking movie. It's very filmic. So instead of like, this format is kind of a Bachelor in Paradise format, a group dating scenario, and everybody has to mix it up and see who they're going to wind up with. Those dates, all those people in Bachelor in Paradise look miserable and tired and crying and shit. These people never look like that. Always look like it's the best time of their lives. That part of it came across loud and clear to me.
And that's actually something I did want to bring up with you guys, is one of the reasons why I do love Love Island so much and why I think it is one of the best shows is because they were the first reality TV show who introduced like filming with high quality cameras, like making like filming it like it's a film, like a reality TV show. Yeah. Nobody had ever done it at the time when they first came out. And so they really upped that and they made it this sparkly, shiny product, unlike any other reality TV show, which I think was genius because nobody really took it seriously.
Yeah, they do the slow-mo no, like the entrances for people. I love the slow-mos when they're dancing. It's such a vibe.
Yeah.
But they also have the Big Brother style like hidden cameras everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
And the fucking music. Jesus Christ. They're licensing real actual pop songs.
It's because
unbelievable.
They make a shit ton of money and they actually invest it back into the product. I know, shocking. Something that the Bachelor could use, you know?
Now, before we get to the awards and stuff, I just have one other question. This thing is called Love Island. Mm-hmm. They're not on an island. They're not even on a beach. What the hell's going on here? They're just in a house. It's a Big Brother house.
No. They're on the island of Majorca in Spain.
Oh.
It's not always on an island. The U.S. season you watched was in Vegas. not an island.
The island of Las Vegas.
That was a bad season.
Okay.
They're not always on an island, but it started out on an island. And with the UK, it's still on an island, except in the winter season when they're in South Africa.
It has all you need from an island in that you can't leave.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's just trapped. Trapped is what
pretty
it should be
much.
Called. Okay. Those are all my questions. Thank you very much
for
indulging my layman understanding of this.
And ask away if you have any more. Obviously, this is the first episode, so it's going to be a little longer just because we gotta explain things to clues. But
yeah. That's me. I'm holding up the process once again. Story of my life.
I can't believe you didn't watch
the first
episode, but whatever. I'm a completist.
I didn't even think I was going to be able to watch this episode, but I did.
Love that. So basically episode 10 picks up right after the dates with the new bombshells, Leah and Charlotte. The dates have concluded, and this episode is basically centered around something that I'm calling Twirlgate. We know Tyreek just got off two dates with Leah and Charlotte. He's been coupled up with Ella. And again, they're doing great. Like, and it's also only been 1 week at this point, but they are doing great. I would argue that at this point in the game, they're probably one of the stronger couples. But again, it's been 1 week. So Tyreek pulls Leah for a chat. And because he didn't feel like they talked enough during their date, he wanted to finish the conversation. And again, talking very innocent, cute. And Leah says something about her dress being too short and how she has to like sit in a certain way. Like she gestures and Tyreek immediately goes, "Oh, stand up. Let me see. I haven't seen it properly yet." So Leah stands up, does a 360, aka a twirl, sits back down. That's it. Ella's in the kitchen. Homegirl is triggered. She is like, she just twirled for him. She is not happy about this twirl. She was doing fine, but when she saw the twirl, she lost it.
All I thought about was
she turns
Ari Lyon,
to Jess
and Becca Kufrin on the Pretty Woman date.
Wait, what
he spins
happened?
Her in
what
the did... dresses that she's trying on.
Yeah, he twirls her too.
Oh my god!
No gate attached to that twirl.
And it was so cringe,
very
wasn't
cringe.
It? Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh man, I forgot about
but
that.
But this play, you're talking about Ella. How many of these players understand that this is all fiction and it's a game? And versus how many people actually come out of this thing that are like still together or got married?
Yeah.
Does it ever work?
The number one Instagram player, she's got a baby now.
Yeah, they're engaged.
There's
from
a
the
lot
show?
Of babies.
Oh, yeah. The first ever season, you have successful couples who have kids, especially the second season. I'm blanking on their names right now, but a lot have kids. A lot are married. I would say it's the same success rate as The Bachelor, honestly.
It makes sense to me. They're spending so much more time together.
So Molly May is like Jade Roper, but with Hannah Brown.
I'm surprised she's number
Francesca
one.
Farrago
My number one is Ekin-Su. Or maybe more.
I thought it was Ekin-Su. I thought it would have been more too, but I guess.
What are these people at? Who's
I think
Ekin-Su
has like 2 million.
I thought she, maybe 3 million, but Maura Higgins, I feel like she could. Maura only has 3.7 million. Molly May is so far ahead of them.
Yeah, that's shocking to me.
I know.
But even that, the person you're saying only has 3.7 million. No one in Bachelor comes close.
I know.
Well, Twirlgate.
Twirlgate, yes, correct. So, again, Ella was in the kitchen watching this all happen, and she turns to Jess, and she's like, why did she just get up and twirl for him? She's really stuck on the twirl and will continue to mention it throughout this episode. Now, her and Tyreek start to fight after this twirl throughout the night. In an ITM, Ty is like, Ella is overreacting. She's acting like I snogged Leah in the corner and it ain't even like that. I understand she doesn't want to see it in front of her, but no one told her to come to the kitchen when I'm next to it. And again, Ella comes back and she's basically like, you said you were going to chat to a girl, but I didn't know you'd be fucking snuggling and saying twirl for me. And then Ella recreates the twirl, which I really liked. I thought that was a good move on her part. Because honestly, I thought she did the twirl better, but it's neither here nor there. And basically, Ella, her whole thing is she wants Tyreek to be respectful about how he goes and talks to new girls. And personally, I feel like if he and Leah were to have gone into some dark corner of the villa or the terrace where nobody was and talked there, I feel like that would have been disrespectful. The fact that he was out in the open, he was, you know, again, they both said they were open. Like,
yeah, there's a difference between saying you're open and then actually confronting the reality of it.
And this is kind of like paradise. As I understand it, that everybody comes there, we're all open, we know it's going to be awkward, we're dating in front of each other, but that's just how it is.
Yes.
And we all kind of accept that. Okay, just making sure.
Totally.
But there's this weird kind of like semi-monogamy that's implied by being in a couple with someone.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, okay. So it's like perfect match a little.
Yeah. In a way. Yeah.
Because you have to, I mean, I saw the format of the show. At the end of the show, you have to basically, in quotes, give a rose to somebody. And it's either the guys are giving the roses or the girls, or in this one, they did a table turner in the end. It's like, the guys are going to do the thing, but the three.
Yeah, but in Perfect Match, there's it has to be a consensual match. In Love Island, you can just pick whoever you want to be your partner if you're just, sometimes it's just the order that the producers.
They can't deny it?
Oh, yeah, no, they can't
deny
it.
You can sleep on the day bed.
No.
Otherwise, you're only allowed to sleep in the bed with your name on it.
In the bed with
person. Okay. Wow.
There's no
That's
like
intense.
Rejecting
right. Interesting.
It.
Interesting. Interesting dynamic. Interesting mechanic there. Okay.
So I do want to mention, so my face play of the game actually happened after Ella is talking to Tyreek about being respectful whenever you are talking to other girls. And wowee. I'm going to show Pace, Case, and Clues this fantastic... I mean, this is scrunched up, like... Let me zoom in a little bit more. Hold on.
Yeah.
Like, she's not having it. She's not
Ella
about...
was faceplaying left and right. I didn't do a faceplay of the game. I was astounded by the level of faceplay across the fucking board.
I know.
This is a face player's paradise. Everybody in this show is throwing up high-level fucking faceplay, giant aperture eyes and mouths, big surprises, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration.
I misunderstood how we were doing the awards. So mine are so far this season, and my faceplay of the season goes to Molly, who was doing like this 100% aperture of her eyeballs at all these various things that have been happening.
At the recoupling in this episode, when she was in the blue outfit and when Charlotte calls for Zach to be her new partner, and they turn to Molly and she's just like,
incredible
wide aperture.
You gotta be to be a musical theater star. You gotta see it from far away. And I saw it.
Oh, absolutely. And you gotta project with your, not only your voice, but your eyes as well. She knows what she's doing. She's a professional.
Clues. Underwear drawers. They're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
So before we get to the next day, my play of the game actually happens. Mitchell, when the lights go out and all the couples are in their beds, he starts a conversation with Molly in bed and says, "I feel like we could be friends, don't you?" She agrees and expresses she's happy they can still be friends. And after he put all his eggs in Molly's basket, after knowing her for like a day, and then when things didn't go his way, he told her he was done. He never wanted to talk to her again. This was the perfect and frankly only play he could have made, and it worked. I think it was smart to do it when he did it, when the lights were out, because I feel like that's when more like serious, meaningful conversations happen between the couples. And it worked out, and they're good. And I think that was a bridge he did need to mend before he could fully like move on. So that was my play of the game. Play of the episode.
My play of the game, play of the season goes to Zachariah for going for that Molly kiss in the challenge. I know it hurt his second audience game perhaps, but he had to go out on this limb in order to get her to leave safe Mitch. And she liked it.
I remember actively like gasping because they're so much more conservative with their kisses on this show. And the fact that he just went for it, I was like, damn. Yeah.
My play of the game, you're going to have to help me here. I don't remember anybody's names.
Don't worry, we got
I
you.
Play the game. Could you imagine this? Could you imagine like a fucking baseball announcer being like, I'm going to tell you, there's an amazing play made. I don't know who made it. I don't know what team it was for. You're going to have to help me with that. But I do remember it was a play. At any rate, the play was, I believe it was one of the Bombshells. Sits down next to a guy. They're talking. And she asks him who is on the top of his list. Yeah. And he says some other player, not her.
Right.
And he goes, what about you? And she goes, actually,
Charlotte,
you're at the top of my
to
list.
Zachariah.
That was my play of the game. Charlotte. Charlotte to Zachariah. I just thought that is such a fantastic utility play. He's saying, I have my eyes on this other person. You don't know if that's going to fucking work out. And she immediately is like, it'll work out with me. I'm telling you right now, if you pick me, we'll fucking go far. And if you go pick her instead, I know that's going to blow up in your fucking face at some point. And you're going to come back to me and think I'm still here waiting. And now I can turn the power dynamic back around. I can make you think you're missing out, that this opportunity is going to fucking dry up. It was a fantastic play. And yeah, we'll see how it works out, I guess, over the course of the season.
Love that that's your play of the game. It was a fantastic play. And I also like Charlotte because she is one of the older Islanders. She's 30 and she knows what she wants. Like she's already said it in the last episode. She's like, I want babies now. I want a marriage now. Yeah. Love it. She's confident. So in the morning, the Tyreek and Ella drama continues, despite Ty emphasizing to the boys, nonetheless, that he is still firmly all in with Ella. She is on the other side of the villa producing, I mean, hella tear play and bringing up that damn twirl again. Jess and Catherine do a great STCO here. Despite Ella's tear play, she has a forced girl chat with Leah and they basically say they have no hard feelings for one another. But of course, Ella once again needs to mention the twirl to the twirler in question. And Ella not dropping the twirl was my error of the game. In a situation like this, you can't let them see you sweat. You gotta play it cool. Catherine does a fantastic job of this. Anytime there's been a situation in the past few episodes that, you know, hasn't worked out in her favor, she could have emotionally reacted. She could have been mad. She always plays it cool. She knows when to react properly in a situation. But Ella's a great player, but she lets her emotions get to her. She just needed to let it go, ignore the twirl, you know. Yeah, she.
You even see it at one point. She's standing next to, I forget who this player was. Ella is standing next to somebody. This is about when they're getting to the rose ceremony portion. And Ella is about to do tear play. And whoever this other player was does a fucking reverse STCO. No shoulder to cry on. Don't cry at all.
Yeah.
A DCAA. Don't cry at all. DCAA. She plays DCAA here. And you realize in this game, maybe tier play is not exactly as it is in The Bachelor. In The Bachelor, it always can punctuate something, make something seem 4TRR, can give you a bit of a victimization edit. Here, it shows weakness. It's different in this game. At least in this episode, it was. I made that note and I was like, that's kind of fucking interesting.
You're basically trying to demonstrate value in this show the whole time. And my runner up for error was the way that Mitch handled Molly talking to Zachariah, because I was like,
yeah,
you are coming off as this is not good. You know that you have more eggs in her basket than she has in yours. You have to play it cool and let her explore her options. You can't
seriously
until you are committed, until you have all eggs and you are in an exclusive, you can't be doing that. However, my error of the season goes to Andre leaving Rushi to try to get with Catherine again. I felt like this was a risky move. I was shipping them for a split second, and Catherine already left you. So she's getting with you. It's only because Zachariah left, and you are a placeholder. And being placeholders are an important part of this game, but you don't want to be left out in the dust. And when you have a sure couple going, you stick with that.
Totally agree.
This game is about longevity.
My error was also Ella's play regarding the twirl and basically just her. Who's the guy that she's with or was with?
Tyreek.
What's his name? Tyreek. Her entire mishandling of what Tyreek was doing. Tyreek's playing the game.
Yes.
And at this phase, I assume 2 weeks in, you kind of have to let everybody play the game. If you get too possessive too quickly, it's going to sink Absolutely. Your ship. And we saw exactly what happened to Ella at this rose ceremony in the end. Or not a rose ceremony. What do they call it in this
recoupling.
Game? At the recoupling. We see what happens to Ella when they recouple. Somebody doesn't want to in the couple. Somebody is going to get a new couple.
Somebody doesn't want to in the couple.
And I think it's because of how she played. Had she played this differently, I think it's a different outcome.
To be fair, we'll get to that point, but also you got to take into account the fact that the bombshells got to pick first. Yeah. And
that's
like
a producer move, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
The bombshells have no say in it?
No, the bombshells got to pick first, got to recouple first.
Right.
And then the guys...
But you're saying it's a producer move, so you think... The producer told the bombshell to pick Tyreek.
Oh, no. I think 100%. I think she wanted Tyreek, but I also think that the producers made sure that, like, oh, during this recoupling, we're going to have the bombshells choose first. Because that doesn't always happen. Yeah. That can be rare. I feel like they set it up that way because they knew she was going
to
pick
That's something I love Tyreek. About this game is that there are no rules to recouplings. And they happen whenever, wherever. And it's all up to the producers of, like, who they want to get rid of, who they want to force to recouple. Yeah.
It really does have a sense that The Bachelor doesn't have. The Bachelor is a stranglehold. You can feel the producers in every frame.
Yep.
In this, it's a little more Big Brother-y. It's a little more like, they just got a bunch of these fucking, like always, super hot 20 to 30-year-old people.
Yeah.
Threw them into this fucking weird ant farm, and we're just kind of watching it. And every once in a while, the producers will send in a text, and that's about it. That's as much of the producers as you can feel in it. You know what
they
I mean?
They call it the voice of God, though.
That's very interesting.
They are actually interfering a lot more than...
Yes.
Sure. But just in the presentation of the document, I'm saying. Like, The Bachelor has this kind of oppressive feeling that the producers are just there grinding these people into fucking emotional torment constantly. I didn't feel that in the show.
I know.
I felt the producers, but they're a little more like cheeky, a little more like, ha, 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 this will be funny.
Yeah.
Instead of like, get them under control.
And on The Bachelor, sometimes you literally see producers in frame, even though it's like a split second. It's still like, oh, it's you feel so like closed in. Like, again, the stranglehold. Yeah. Totally agree. So Whitney's got a text. It's time for her and Mehdi to head off on their first date. They ride a tandem bike to a pond in the Spanish countryside. And when they're at the pond, they cheers. But the thing is what Chad said at the very beginning, it's shot so beautifully the way I'm describing it. It sounds like they went to a pond on a bike. Okay.
They did. They rode a fucking tandem bike to a goddamn pond and sat on a fucking wooden bench with a goddamn plate
of
like
cheese
cubes on it.
The tandem bike was a
full
date.
But even the full dates in this show are fucking beautiful. The shots they have of the wine and shit laying on the table, it's like, that's just a fucking bottle of wine. It looks like the tastiest fucking wine. I mean, they shoot this show incredibly well.
It's gorgeous.
To me, it was better than Love is Blind. It was better than the Kinetic shows, even, visually.
Eat that, Kinetic. Burn, roasted. Yeah. So when they cheers, again, by this pond on this wooden bench that looks beautiful,
yeah.
Mehdi looks down and he goes, oh, the frogs are fucking. And then the camera points directly at the two frogs mating in full daylight in the middle of the pond. And these two horny frogs getting it on right in front of Whitney and Mehdi were my creatures of the week. I mean,
these two
out in the open.
Fucking frogs were my creatures of the season.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Hard to beat.
Same. I don't even know when the next time is I'm going to watch one of these episodes. I'll say it right now. They're the creatures of the fucking whole series. Are you kidding me? Two frogs having sex and a French guy is like, look at the
frogs.
They're
fucking.
Huh? I was kind of like, you know, oh, taking in the ambiance and shit during that scene. And then I hear him say that, and I'm like, did that guy just say two frogs fucking? What? Because you don't see the shot. You don't see the frogs when he says it. You're like, what is this fucking maniac talking about? Then they show there's two literal frogs having sex in the fucking thing, center stage, and they cut to it later in the fucking show, too.
And it's shot beautifully, too.
There's a lot of tongue-in-cheek.
It's like a romantic.
Tongue-in-cheek stuff in the show. And they always make fun of the dates for being shitty. They're like, they just put a bottle of wine on the driveway.
That or like,
yeah, it's like, hey, at least they didn't turn you into a fucking human churro and make you roll around with a snake. Like, could have been worse, dude. Could have been worse.
And it's also hilarious. Like Ian Sterling, the narrator, like sometimes at the beginning of the season, he'll be like, it's season 10 and we're back. And guess what? We finally got a bigger budget for the date team. They now have two chairs to work with or something like that. And like, they're he's always just shitting on like the date team, the producers. Yeah. Like it's, I love it. I love it.
It strikes a weird tone in that way because that guy, the narrator kind of undercuts the sincerity of everything.
But that's
always
part of it.
But the music then backs it back up. The music that they select under all of it is fucking phenomenal. And it really, like, when you're at the rose ceremony or the recoupling, you feel like emotional weight because they score it so fucking
well. I mean, the recouplings are my least favorite part of the show. Sometimes I fast forward because it's just like they always do these pauses that are so long.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yeah.
I also fast forward the previously on and coming up. I'm like, what are these fucking spoilers?
Oh, I know they do. They more than Bachelor. I know Bachelor sometimes spoils their own shit, but like Love Island does it every day.
I am so fast now at fast forwarding it. I'm like, I don't see it.
You're just like, oh, I love that. So here's the deal, though. Mehdi and Whitney, again, they're still on their date. They're talking about how they vibe. The date was nice, but there was no chemistry. Kiss, which I was really totally missed opportunity here. I feel like the public really likes them because they are so silly and such an interesting couple. And again, Mehdi should have kissed her here. Like when she
I
was.
I don't buy this couple. I'm sorry. I don't.
You don't?
I don't know.
Elaborate.
I don't know. I just don't see the chemistry here. I see two people looking for a placeholder.
You're probably right. I ate right into it. I think it was the music, or maybe the frogs that were fucking.
Yeah. If you have the right song and a video of two frogs having sex in a pond, people will believe anything.
Pretty much. But Mehdi and Whitney get back from their date, and Elle and Tyreek are able to make up just all of that. But then Sammy gets a text, and we are now at our second recoupling of season 10, where the boys will pick which girls they would like to couple up with. The girls not picked to be in a couple will be left single and vulnerable. Charlotte and Leah get to pick first as the newest arrivals before the boys make any decisions. So, in order, this is how it goes. Leah is up first. She couples up with Tyreek, and like everybody gasps. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, Charlotte's up next. She couples up with Zach, and then we see an amazing face play from Molly. Again, the wide eye aperture, just like.
Yeah. Unreal.
Very good. Andre couples up with Catherine. Mehdi couples up with Whitney. Sammy couples up with Jess. And then Mitch couples up with Molly. And I really did like his speech before he picked Molly. I thought that, I wonder what that's going to lead to. And so Rushi and Ella are the two left that are single, and they're both OG Islanders. And another text comes in telling the Islanders they must now decide which single girl should be saved. The girl not chosen will be dumped from the island immediately, and then cliffhanger.
This is why I gave Ella my error. Sorry to say it. Had she played that differently, I don't think that would have been the outcome. I know you're saying the producers are the ones drumming all this shit up. You're playing the producers too. If you're showing the producers that you're getting flustered by this shit, they're going to fucking poke you harder. You know what I mean? If you're like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about this, they're going to be less likely to put her on the
chopping
block. I
don't know. I feel like this is a false cliffhanger, though, because Rishi's not really in a couple. So I'm like, it seems obvious Ella's going to stay.
Yeah. Who was your MVP?
My Jorge Moreno, bystander of the season, goes to the woman who is on a date with George in the intro packages, and he ditches her after giving her a flower bouquet to go on Love Island. And she does incredible face play. She's like, what?
I know, it's, how dare you? Oh my gosh, that's so hilarious. I was like, who could her Jorge Moreno be? But then I forgot about the intro. That is good. My MVP was Leah, because while she did commit one of the seven deadly sins, twirling, she did not let herself get bothered by Ella's outburst. She kept chatting with Tyreek, who is her number one. Again, being a bombshell is not easy. She could have easily shied away from continuing to talk to him to appease Ella, but she didn't. She kept her eyes on the prize, and that's why she was my MVP of episode 10.
When you say being a bombshell is not easy, is bombshell a game term? Do they do bombshells every season?
It's anyone who's not an OG.
And so those are just people who come in halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
OG is day one.
Yes.
For sand, basically. Okay. Got it. My MVP was Tyreek, because he found himself in a very precarious situation. And I realized that in the early stages of the game, you can jump around a little bit, whatever, whatever. But clearly he was causing Ella distress by what he was doing, his choices he was making. And she was coming at him hard with a victimization strategy. Why did you do this to me? You're the asshole. I'm the victim here. She even says at one point, because he's not having it, he's like, no, I went on this date, whatever. This is crazy. I'm trying to talk about it with you, and you're just pretending to be mad. And she even says, why are you trying to make this all about you? She reveals in that moment, she's trying to make it all about her. She's trying to be the victim in the situation. And he defends it perfectly by just never giving an inch. So he survived that. He gets a producer, potentially, to have this other player choose him at the recoupling. I thought he did a fantastic job dodging what would have normally been a situation that I think could have found him on a chopping
block. Tyreek is probably my runner-up for MVP of the season, but Molly Marsh was my MVP. She is the star of the show so far. She is setting up her own love triangles. Yep. She's setting up her own love squares. She is getting away with it. She's pissing off some of the second audience, but not to the point of them causing a confrontation. Obviously, she's getting the parasocial gains. I saw that after I made this decision, but it makes sense to me. She's just, I just know she's going to be in it till the final episode. So she's killing it.
Yeah.
She's going to be, you know, the next Molly May. She's going to be the next Second Sue. She's amazing.
Extraordinary. And, you know, I was shipping her in Mitch.
And she's only 21.
Sort of still shipping her in Mitch, but I don't know. Maybe that ship has sailed.
No, but I like that you're still, because, like, I totally am. I'm like, oh, maybe this is his play to, like, he's saying, like, oh, let's just be friends, but this is his way of, like, getting back in, but being a nice guy about it.
Just like Jess keeps being the STCO for him, waiting in the wings. That's also a placeholder relationship, I think, Sammy and Jess.
For sure. Well, that was my breakdown. That was our breakdown of episode 10 of season 10. I'll be back on Wednesday to break down the next few episodes. I want to thank both of you for joining me for my first Love Island breakdown. Both of you are going to pop back in throughout the season to help me break down any and all twirls, because you guys are kind of like who I need when stuff like that happens, to be honest. But thank you both for coming on the inaugural Grafting with Grace Ann episode.
I loved it. I'm so glad we're finally covering the show. I think you have been doing an extraordinary job putting this show together. And if you haven't watched Love Island yet, watch it from episode one. It's amazing. And I would say the casting for the season, excellent.
I would also say it's been a pleasure, Grace Ann, to be part of what is a historic moment, another launching of Game of Roses style coverage of another show right in the middle of the season.
It's not in the middle. This is still the beginning.
Really? I was thinking about
over 50 episodes.
Yeah.
I like that. Again, that's one of the reasons why I do like being a gore. Again, you guys, you do always adhere to these very sacred traditions. So, yeah. Yes.
I was driving around today thinking about that. This is our 4-year anniversary.
Oh my gosh, you're right. It literally is today when this is.
Is it really? Literally?
Yeah, yes.
Oh my God.
June 19th. Oh, wow.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy Juneteenth.
Pitt provides. We didn't even know this.
Wait, is it the 19th or the 18th?
It's the 19th.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I had no idea. Well, I feel very honored to be a part of it. So thank you for having us, Grace Ann.
Thank you. And this has been Grafting with Grace Ann.